This voice puzzled me. It didn't sound English, but it didn't sound American either. It was a most unusual voice, very quiet and very interesting. "Do you realize that wall's part of an old castle?" it said. This was not a happy moment, as I thought he would come to look at the fireplace wall, but just then Thomas came out on the staircase. The men explained that they had turned down our lane by accident, and their car was stuck in the mud. They wanted help to get it out. Thomas said he would come and have a look. "Wonderful old place you have here," said the unusual voice, and I feared they might ask to look round. But the other man began talking about how stuck the car was, and asking if we had horses to pull it out, and in a minute or so Thomas went off with them. I tried to imagine faces to go with the voices, then suddenly realized that the water was cooling, and I had barely begun washing. Then I heard the door open again. Someone came into the kitchen, and I was sure it wasn't any of the family. They would have called out to me, or at least made a lot more noise. I could feel someone just standing and staring. After a moment, I couldn't bear it any longer, so I yelled out, "Whoever you are, I warn you, I'm in the bath here." "Good heavens, I do beg your pardon," said the man with a quiet voice. "Were you there when we came in a few minutes ago?" I told him I had been, and asked if the car was still stuck. "They've gone for horses to pull it out," he said, "so I sneaked back to have a look round here. I've never seen anything like this place." "Just let me get dried and in my right mind, and I'll show you round," I said. I asked him if he could see my towel anywhere, but he didn't seem able to, so I knelt in the bath, parted the green sheets, and put my head through. He turned towards me. Seldom have I felt more astonished. He had a black beard. It was trim and pointed, rather Elizabethan, but it was very surprising because his voice had sounded quite young. "How do you do?" he said, smiling, and I could tell by his tone that he had taken me for a child. He found my towel and started to bring it over. I began to put one arm through the sheets for the towel. "There'll be a catastrophe if you do it that way," he said. "I'll put it round the corner." As I drew my head in, I saw his hand coming round. I grabbed the towel from it and was just going to ask him to bring my clothes too, when the door opened again. "I've been looking for you everywhere, Simon," said the American voice. "This is the darndest place. I've just seen a spook."
"Nonsense," said the bearded man.
"Honest I have. While I was in the lane, I shone my flashlight up at the tower on the hill and a white figure flitted behind it."
"Probably a horse."
"Horse nothing. It was walking upright. But, gosh, maybe I am going crazy. It didn't seem to have any legs."
"I guess Topaz must have kept her black rubber boots on."
"Stop talking about it anyway," the bearded man whispered. "There's a child in the bath behind those sheets." I called out for someone to bring my clothes and put an arm round for them. "My God, it's a green child," said the American. "What is this place? The House of Usher?"
"I'm not green all over," I explained. "It's just that we've all been dying."
"Then maybe it was one of your ghosts I saw," said the American. The bearded man came over with my clothes.
"Don't worry about the ghost," he said. Of course he didn't see one.
I said, "Well, he easily might up on the mound, but it was more likely to be my stepmother communing with nature." I was out of the bath by then, with the towel draped around me respectably, so I put my head round to speak to him. It came out much higher than when I had been kneeling in the bath, and he looked most astonished.
"You're a larger child than I realized," he said.
As I took the clothes, I caught sight of the other man. He had just the sort of face to go with his voice, a nice, fresh face. The odd thing was that I felt I knew it. He caught my eye and said, "Hello. Tell me some more about your legless stepmother and the rest of your family. Have you a sister who plays the harp on horseback or anything?" Just then, Topaz began to play her lute upstairs.
She must have slipped in at the front door. The young man began to laugh. "There she is," he said delightedly.
"That's not a harp. It's a lute," said the bearded man.
"Now that really is amazing. A castle. A lute." And then Rose came out onto the staircase. She was wearing the dyed green tea gown, which is medieval in shape with long flowing sleeves. She obviously didn't know that there were strangers in the house, for she called out, "Look, Cassandra!" Both men turned towards her, and she stopped dead at the top of the stairs. For once, Topaz had her lute in tune, and she was, most appropriately, playing Greensleeves.